The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday, January 15th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with John Hester of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And later this half hour, Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago will discuss the energy market. In agricultural news, next week the Senate will consider the nomination of Ed Schaefer for USDA Secretary. Also, a key Republican says farm bill spending must be cut to assure bill passage. And GM wants to expand E85 availability. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. And meteorologist Don Day will be by with the latest world agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Tuesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City March wheat: 9.56 up 23, July 9.08 and a half up 30. At the Board of Trade on LaSalle Street, March wheat 9.32 up 15, May 9.45 up 11, July 8.50 and a quarter up 14 and a quarter. March corn 5.09 down 3, May 5.21 and a half down 2 and 3 quarters, July 5.32 and a half down 2 and a quarter, December 5.29 down 1 and a half. March beans 13.01 and a half up 5, May 13.19 and 3 quarters up 5 and a half, July 13.37 and a quarter up 5 and a quarter, November 12.85 up 22. March soybean meal 356.10 up 360, March May 362 up $4.20. March soybean oil 53.31 up 14, May 53.94 up 13. February live cattle 90.80 down 10. January feeders 97.80 down 62.5. February lean hogs 54.65 up 55, and February pork bellies 84.65 up 2.5 points on the day. Joining us now to talk about the markets is John Hester of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we started off the day on the downside, couldn't press the overnights and yesterdays, and then took it up to the upside and actually made some new contract highs in corn and beans before settling off of those highs today. It was quite a choppy day of trade.
I think that pretty much sums it up in a nutshell. It was very choppy. Like you said, on the opening, they tried to take the lows out. They couldn't take them out, so they rallied the market. And I think, the lows were made early. And in the corn, they traded both sides of unchanged two or three times today. And I think in the end, there was light profit taking that came in on the corn. In the beans, they opened lower, rallied back, sold off again, and, they basically rallied a little bit into the close. They closed off their highs, but they were about as high on the close as they had been most of the day, and I think that's probably attributed in the bean market to the South American weather concerns. There's still concern that we've got to buy five million acres, roughly, of beans in the United States, and they're nervous about that. And, there's still demand for the oil and the meal. And, I guess the bean market was just more poised. There was more buying or more speculative buying coming in the beans than there was the corn, and there was profit taking showing up a little bit in the corn, but the funds were in the commercials, were both buyers today, and index funds bought some with, you know, small profit taking. The wheat was up today again on, you know, concerns of shortage of wheat. Pakistan was rumored they were thinking about tendering for some more wheat. You know, they're got pretty much of a government's kind of in an unrest situation over there, and they got big elections coming up. And you know, if they tell the people they're, you know, trying to secure food, that tempers their disposition a little bit. Maybe calms the people down and keeps them happy, at least till they get this election over with.
They weren't the only nation tendering. Turkey was, Jordan,
yeah.
Japan had its normal tender, South Korea had its normal tender. It looks like the prices of wheat that we're at now is not going to ration demand at all. You know what I found interesting today? That in a lead month, who would ever have thought that in a spot month we would have saw $13 soybeans?
It's unbelievable. And there's some people that are saying that, you know, we could see $14 to $15 in the spot lead month. Maybe not in March, but maybe by May. So, I mean, I don't know where it's going, I'll be quite honest. I do know that the markets are all in an extremely overbought situation. The outside markets today were working against the grain markets. Crude oil down 250, gold is was down a little bit, the dollar's down again today. But the beans and the wheat kind of divorced themselves from the energy markets and just marched higher today. And I would hate to think what would have happened if the crude oil would have been up $2 or $3 and, you know, gold up and everything else up that, you know, they've kind of been following. We might have seen beans up 30, 40 cents again today.
Yeah, it looks like bear spreading was a feature in the bean pit. Do you expect that to continue on the balance of the week or unwind?
I kind of think that, personally, that it'll probably continue because I think they're really concerned about South American weather. And, you know, if they ever get a handle on how many, you know, acreage that will be planted in the United States, you know, they're really concerned that they need this 5 million acres. And I think as long as those two concerns are major, that this bear spreading will probably continue to a certain extent.
What did basis do today?
I'm not sure what it's done locally today. Yesterday it widened out about a dime in the beans here, and corn locally it widened out about five, 6 cents, and I know the Gulf widened out last night. So today I'm not sure what it's done.
Do you feel as though that we're in a place where if futures continues to go higher, that there's really no breathing room for basis to go anywhere but down, at least in the short term?
Down.
Lower.
No.
Wider.
Wider. I think basis is going to go wider as long as prices go up. The higher the price goes, the higher the basis will be, or the wider the basis will be.
So at the end of the day, we're left with some pretty incredible price levels, and by the way, we did see new contract highs in some corn months as well. You had mentioned this morning perhaps being sold up to 40% in the corn. Would you recommend that sale even for producers who had made previous sales maybe up to 20 or 25 or maybe even 30% at $4?
I think I would not want – well, my problem is I don't know where the market's going, but if I would have – I made some sales on farm cash at $4, and, of course, you know, it's a dollar higher now, and I'm not very happy about it. But I think what I'm personally doing is every 10, 15 cents I'm rewarding the market a little bit. I'm not making, you know, huge sales, but I think the market needs to be rewarded, and – you know, everybody's pretty much in agreement if this thing ever tops out that, you know, we could see 2 or 3 days of limit down moves in corn, beans, and wheat. I think a producer at these lofty prices needs to reward the market, because who would have ever thought 3 years ago we would, you know, ever have a chance to sell grain at these lofty prices.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Talk to you later, Dave.
You too. John Hester of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Taking a look at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast tonight, he says in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy with a few flurries early, then clearing overnight. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows of 13 to 25. Tomorrow in Illinois, mostly sunny early, then increasing cloudiness. In Indiana, mostly sunny and highs ranging from 36 in the north to 44 in the south. The extended cold front will push through early on Thursday, accompanied by some light snow. A reinforcing shot of much colder air will arrive Friday night, along with a little more snow. Temperatures over the weekend will be well below freezing, with some low temperatures below zero in northern and central sections, where enough snow falls on Thursday and again on Friday evening. In agricultural news, Washington Insider reports that South Korea may have new determination to resolve its ongoing dispute with the U.S. over the import of beef. Sources say South Korean officials recognize it must fully reopen its country to U.S. beef before Congress will consider a new free trade deal. And there are rumors that the transition team for South Korea's new president is arguing resolution of the beef issue must occur if relations with the U.S. are to improve. The Senate Agriculture Committee will hold a confirmation hearing on January 24th to consider the nomination of Ed Schaefer for USDA Secretary. Schaefer, a former governor of North Dakota, was nominated last fall. Acting USDA Secretary Chuck Connors says if Schaefer is confirmed, he expects the transition will be, in his words, seamless. Connor also spoke out yesterday about the Conservation Reserve Program, calling the CRP a conservation and environmental program and not a land reserve program for USDA to allow additional crops to enter the marketplace. Connor says last Friday's USDA reports did not change his mind to allow early withdrawal of CRP acres without penalties. In Connor's words, "That is still my position." The top Republican on the House Agriculture Committee says the House Senate Conference Committee must cut spending to get the White House to sign a new farm bill. Virginia Republican Bob Goodlatte says it's doubtful lawmakers will find the revenues to pay for increased farm bill spending, and so...
When you put the House and Senate bills together, you know, the increase in spending in the Senate is very different than the increase in spending in the House, and they just don't match. So between the two, there's more than $20 billion in new spending, and the parties need to sit down and get serious about how they can provide a farm bill without massive tax increases and massive spending increases.
Sunday, USDA Acting Secretary Chuck Connor told the AFBF convention in New Orleans that the White House and lawmakers remain at odds over the farm bill.
It would be great, ladies and gentlemen, for me to be able to tell you that we were just a few short steps away from wrapping up a final package that we can deliver to the president for his signature. Unfortunately, that is not where we are, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, we do have some fundamental differences with Congress over the two versions of the farm bill it has put together. The bills passed by the House and the Senate, as they stand today, are not on a road to successful passage.
Senate lawmakers return to Capitol Hill next week. There are at least two key economic hearings this week. The Congressional Joint Economic Committee will hold a hearing tomorrow, taking testimony on what lawmakers in the White House should do to avoid a recession. And on Thursday, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke will give his near-term projections for the U.S. economy before the House Budget Committee. Meanwhile, the senior economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation predicts that the 2008 growing season will net producers high prices. Stuart Doan reports.
The bidding war between corn and soybeans for acreage in 2008, just how far will it go? According to American Farm Bureau senior economist Terry Fransel, for corn,
there's about a 90% probability that we are going to match the old high of 554 sometime this spring. I think there's probably a 75% probability that we will trade in that $5.50 to $6 range. And there's probably at least a 50% probability that we will trade above that $6 range.
And for soybeans,
it's very probable that we could be in that $14, $15 level.
Fransel said he doesn't believe crop prices will collapse once spring planting is completed because the higher corn, soybean, and wheat prices to date have not rationed global demand. Stuart Doan, New Orleans.
A University of Missouri study says the just-approved energy bill will result in more ethanol and biodiesel production, increased corn acres, higher farm income, and reduced farm subsidies. The Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute says a key to higher ethanol and biodiesel production is continuation of a 51 cents per gallon credit for ethanol blenders and a 54 cents per gallon duty on ethanol. FAPRI says if the credits are extended, corn-based production will grow by an average of 2.8 billion gallons a year from 2011 to 2016. U.S. Trade Representative spokesperson Gretchen Hamel says the U.S. will give the European Union a limited period to show it's approving GMO crops more quickly. The announcement, at least temporarily, holds off further legal action at the WTO. But Hamel also stressed, quote, the patience of U.S. stakeholders is close to exhaustion. Last month, France suspended commercial use of a Monsanto-produced GMO corn to look at the crop's environmental and health risks, despite EU-wide approval for the GMO. Hamel says, quote, it's hard to overstate our disappointment. General Motors hopes to use its corporate muscle to convince U.S. gasoline stations to add E85 fuel pumps. Yesterday, GM announced a goal of assisting 10,000 gas stations to install E85 pumps over the next 2 to 3 years. GM says it will help service stations to find grant money to ease conversion costs, and it will contact owners of GM Flex fuel vehicles when new fuel options open near them. GM is now producing about 1 million Flex fuel vehicles a year. Ethanol education is also at the top of the list for the National Corn Growers Association. Illinois corn grower Steve Rue.
There's all these speculations out there on different blends, and will it work in my car, and where do I find a vehicle to buy, and if I do buy a vehicle, where are the pumps? Our committee and the NCGA as a whole is certainly going to make that one of their big points for 08. You know, we are part of the market. We have a substantial part of the market share now, and we need to take a proactive approach to this and really educate our urban folks because they're the ones that are using our product.
Rue says the NCGA will try to develop a catchphrase for ethanol this year, much in the way the dairy industry has had success with Got Milk. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Joining us now for our weekly segment on the energy markets is Steve Platt, energy strategist for Archer Financial Services in Chicago. Good afternoon, Steve, and welcome to the WILL family.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Why don't you begin by sharing a little bit about yourself and about what Archer Financial Services does.
Archer Financial Services is an IB wholly owned by ADM. Investor Services, and facilitates futures trading. Myself, I've been in the business for over 20 years and have gone through some of the turmoil that similar to what we're going through right now back in the early 80s. So a lot of experience back there.
So what's old is new again is what you're telling us.
Things tend to repeat themselves in commodities.
Well, let's go ahead and tune in on some commodities. Let's start with the spot crude oil futures. Today we saw February oil get all the way down, it looks to me, to 90, 98-ish, thereabouts. And that's its lowest level since at least mid-December. And the question I have for you is, are sell stops beginning to accumulate below this price level?
Well, there is, likely are as we start moving through toward that 20-day moving average. But, you know, it's really a function of, I think, concerns developing over the economy. And as we start to see more and more people become believers in a recessionary kind of scenario, I think that tends to feed into the crude. Another factor that we've seen in terms of the energy complex is its relative value to other markets. And we did see a rather decisive shift from the energy complex into other markets here at the beginning of January and even since the crop report, as you start to see some shifting of these funds from the energy complex maybe into the agricultural complex, which has gotten a lot of buying recently following the plannings report.
The other oil, crude oil feature I noticed is that the back months are continuing to be discounted to the nearbys. Is that going to tighten?
I tend to believe those months actually have value. If you're a believer that the emerging markets will be a big factor here as we move through into 2000 and through 2008, helping to maybe rectify some of the imbalances we have, you have to believe that maybe we will see some narrowing in the spreads in which the nearbys actually will lose relative to those back months.
Turn your attention to the corn crude oil spread. Over recent months, it's been narrowing, perhaps on corn futures rallying to the high levels that they're reaching again, new contract highs in corn today. What's your anticipation for that spread over the next 30 to 60 days?
Well, I think it's a great situation for producers of corn. Certainly, we've seen it come down from the exorbitant heights of over a year ago. And that had prevailed back in 2005 following Katrina when it got out to basically 36 bushels of corn equaling the price of one barrel of oil. That's come into as low as 18 to 1 today. And I suspect it's going to probably come in even narrower, probably down toward the 14, 16 area. Pretty quick here as we demand more corn.
Are federal estimates of demand overstated?
I believe, at least on the product side for the energy complex, they are.
Mm-hmm.
At this juncture, the Energy Information Agency is looking at maybe 0.7% in the growth in terms of product markets. I think we'll be pretty flat this year. Another key consideration is the world situation. The International Energy Agency, which has basically indicated that we would see some pretty good growth in demand, is probably on the high side at around 87.8 million barrels in 2008. And tomorrow they will be coming out with some new estimates. And they, I think, are going to have to revise those numbers down in terms of the crude oil demand for this coming year.
Thank you much, Steve.
My pleasure. It's nice being on WILL.
Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The cleanup goes on in Watsika, but an emergency management official warns residents about pumping out their flooded basements too soon. As the level of the Iroquois River goes down, Assistant Emergency Management Director Michael Johnston says the soil around homes may still be waterlogged. That would increase the risk of hydraulic pressure damaging foundations that get pumped out. About 30 people remain in a shelter in the city, but Johnston says all city streets are open again. State and federal officials are in Watsika to evaluate the damage to that city and the surrounding area. The city of Chicago's plan to host the 2016 Olympic Games will cost an estimated $900 million to build new and temporary venues. Organizers released the price tag today after sending a detailed questionnaire about the games to the International Olympic Committee. The events would be held on Chicago's downtown lakefront and in nearby neighborhoods. Details also emerged today about the other six bid cities' plans, including Tokyo, which said 95% of its competition venues would be within 5 miles of downtown. Chicago's price tag is likely to grow if history's any guide. Staging the 2012 London Olympics is now more than triple the original estimate, tops $19 billion. Chicago is one of seven cities bidding. The IOC will likely whittle that group down to a short list of finalists in June. Governor Mitch Daniels' plan to revamp Indiana's property tax system is getting a skeptical reception from a Terre Haute Democrat. Representative Clyde Kersey says he won't vote for the bill without some changes. He says a plan to make all assessors in the state appointed officials won't fly. The governor will make his case for the sweeping reform bill tonight in his annual State of the State address. The state of Illinois is offering free college prep testing programs to public school districts in the state as a way to help track the progress of high school freshmen and sophomores. The State Board of Education says the Explore and Plan tests are voluntary, but will help schools track students as they prepare to take college entrance exams in 11th grade. Illinois students take a series of tests to judge how well they're doing in various subjects. The state standards achievement test covers 3rd through 8th graders, while high school juniors take the Prairie State Achievement Exam. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Looks like if I'm reading these charts correctly, we're going to get some snow in the wheat belt just in time, huh?
Yes, we are. And the warmer weather that a lot of the nation has enjoyed over the last week or so is coming to an end. In fact, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see most of the lower 48 states, coast to coast, a little cooler than normal. Some colder weather is coming, and it's a pattern that will likely last a week, maybe two. But with the colder weather, as illustrated by some of that snow in the wheat belt, there is going to be some moisture with the colder weather.
And that snow providing enough of a blanket to protect the wheat crop at this point, do you think?
Boy, let's hope so. I think there's going to be some thin spots where the snow may not be deep enough for that. We're going to have to watch temperatures. I think we're going to avoid any super cold that would cause any severe damage. But I don't think the snow cover will be deep enough everywhere to protect everyone.
So some local producers may have some problems.
But yeah, there will be some spots that there could be definitely some concerns there.
Let's turn our attention internationally and go to Brazil, where we're kind of wondering whether or not the southern crop area is going to get back on track with the precipitation.
Well, they may. Right now, at least from what our charts are saying, the chances of moisture are there. The heavier moisture has been for most of the season a little bit further north, but the prospects of moisture in some of the growing areas of the south do look better this week.
Now give us the big puzzle, Argentina.
Argentina, well, yeah, it's been the tale of two different parts of the country, with some of the central and northern areas able to get some precipitation, some of the central and southern areas a little bit drier, and that's the trend that's going to continue.
Are we going to go from a northern-southern basis to a western-eastern basis over the next few weeks?
We might, and right now the western areas of Argentina look to be faring the best.
And go ahead and give us the latest on India, which certainly needs rain pretty badly in a number of their wheat and rapeseed growing areas.
And the prospects aren't good. Looks like most of India going to be dry for the next week to 10 days. The only exception will be the far southern areas, but even then it's not going to be much. The pattern across the whole northern hemisphere is in a log jam right now, and the areas that are dry going to stay dry. The areas that are wet going to stay wet. The areas warm and cold are going to stay that way until the pattern breaks. It's a persistent pattern that could go another 2 weeks.
Two more weeks. Thank you much, Don. Much appreciative.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, energy analysis, and weather reports on the web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio link. This is Dave Dickey.